Radio Show, brought to you by People G2, a company dedicated to helping all businesses with their people-related decisions. They do that by giving clients access to the best human capital, due diligence and background checks available on prospective candidates, business partners, tenants, and more. To learn more, simply visit www.peopleg2.com. Today, we're privileged to have with us the founder and president of People G2, Chris Dyer. Hey, Chris.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining me. Again, my name is Chris Dyer, and I'll be your host for the next hour here on the Talent Talk Radio Show. We have a great lineup of guests, and I hope you're looking forward to hearing all of our great insights from all of our guests throughout the year. So the Talent Talk Radio Show features a wide range of these types of guests who care about talent management, leadership development, and company culture. And in the business world, talent really has a couple different meanings. So of the two that we focus on, the first is how it relates to success and how really talented people achieve success. And then the second one that we focus on is how talent relates to human resources and how HR leaders find the best candidates for their companies. This show will explore those two different areas along with how talented individuals really impact a company's culture. The guests on Talent Talk typically include CEOs, HR executives, entrepreneurs, coaches, consultants, and all types of business leaders from just about every industry you can think of. What typically happens is I'm at networking events and conferences, and I have the privilege of meeting inspiring leaders all the time. And I created this forum to allow you to listen on our dialogue and learn some practical advice on how to cultivate talent, develop leaders, and manage culture, and hopefully impact your own career in a positive way. I want to thank those of you tuning in live here every Tuesday. If you have a question for one of our guests, you can submit them via Twitter by tweeting them to @PeopleG2 and use the hashtag Talent Talk, all one word. My producer, Mike, will feed me the best questions, and we'll try to work them into the show. If you have other guest suggestions or just, you know, generic questions that you think might be good to ask guests, we also can take your suggestions there as well. Also, don't forget about the Talent Talk podcast on iTunes or Android. That's how most people tend to interact with the show. And we now have over 130,000 of you subscribing to the podcast feed and tuning in each week. We thank all of you for taking the time to listen, whether it's the live show or the podcast. All right, now we've got all the business out of the way. Let's get today's show started. My guests today are Marty Nolan. He's the vice president of HR for a little company you might have heard of called Sears. And also Donna Schilder. She's the executive coach with Glacier Point Solutions. Donna will join me live in the studio the second half of the show. But my first guest is on the phone with Marty Nolan. Marty, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here today.
So tell us a little about yourself and your new role there at Sears.
Sure. Well, I would explain that I'm probably the typical, you know, HR guy, for the lack of a better description. I've been doing HR for my entire career, mostly with large organizations. Strangely enough, I started in consulting right out of college, which is a bit unusual. Most clients don't want to work with some kid right out of college, but it was a great landing area for me to start working on things like job descriptions and HR audits and employee handbooks, and kind of fell in love with HR from a compliance perspective very early, and moved on through larger organizations like AIG, I worked with for a number of years, Stanley Black & Decker, Manpower Group, and now with Sears Holdings Company. And over that period of time, you know, working with large organizations and so many different people in different business units through several mergers and acquisitions, really landed a passion for working with people and understanding the importance of talent and talent management in any organization. So I've landed here with Sears. I'm the HR leader for Sears Home Services, which is a large division of Sears, about 12,000 people, a little north of $7 billion in revenue. And we do just what it sounds like, home improvement, all of those product repair technicians out there that are fixing washers and dryers and dishwashers and service contracts. And it's been a good 4 months for me here, Chris, but it's been challenging as well. It's a great organization, and just as you had pointed out, a company that everybody knows, but a company that struggled recently as well. And Sears has been around since the 1800s, as many people know, and times have changed, and Sears is changing with those times as well. to continue to compete both on the retail side as well as the home services side.
So I think, you know, the first kind of imagery that might pop in our head when we think Sears might be that kind of blue logo up on the side of one section of the mall that you may or may not park next to as we go to enter either Sears or the mall in general. So, but there are so many other brands that encompass Sears, and I was really kind of surprised, or maybe I just kind of had forgotten over time, all of the different great brands that are really under that umbrella. So maybe you could just take a moment and kind of remind our listeners, what are some of those different companies and brands that are really kind of under that umbrella there?
Be happy to, Chris. I think, you know, most people are certainly familiar with Kmart, and that was a acquisition that Sears made several years ago when Kmart was struggling through the bankruptcy process. So we have a full line of Kmart stores across the country. But from a pure brand perspective, you know, we kind of call it internally KCD, which would be Kenmore, the appliances, Craftsman, which is the tool set and line, and then, of course, Die Hard as well, which is through Sears Auto, which is a successful business for the enterprise. And then most people may not know, we also work very closely with Land's End. So for those that are out there, I know with my children, I'm looking for snow boots every single winter and snow jackets and snow pants. Land's End, the popular apparel destination for folks.
I'm sorry, what's snow again?
Well, as I sit up here in Chicago, I can describe it to you very specifically.
Okay, good, good. No, but I mean, Sears and Kmart, I think people are very familiar with, but you know, you talk about the KCD and then you added Land's End. I mean, those are really four kind of powerhouse brands that themselves have great reputations and are great employers as well. And in themselves, we could probably talk about it at length, but I know you were recruited by Sears to kind of step into the role you're in now. So what is it that you think you bring to the table that is something that Sears was looking for its next VP of HR?
I think a lot of it, Chris, has to do with perspective. You know, I've been in a lot of different roles with different types of organizations. My most recent role with Manpower Group, I had some client responsibility as well as internal HR responsibility for the Americas. So I had the full scope HR role there, you know, which really kind of shaped my view on talent. And I think they were looking for somebody to come in, you know, in a low capital environment. You know, one of the areas that we can quickly make a difference is around talent. So if we don't, you know, if you go back 30, 40 years ago, it was, you know, organizations that had a lot of capital did really well. You know, they could buy their way out of trouble through technology, machinery, whatever it might be. In low margin businesses where capital is hard to come by, you know, talent really becomes your differentiator. And Sears happens to be in one of those situations now as they rebuild the retail sector and become more of an integrated retailer. You know, we don't have necessarily the capital that the organization did at one point in time. So how do we leverage talent in the organization? How do we recruit talent into the organization? How can we do that in an innovative way when the organization in some parts are struggling? So I really feel like my perspective coming in, understanding the workforce, some of the things we had done at Manpower Group, what can we do to leverage that within Sears? And there was also just a practical edge to it as well, Chris. From a pure practitioner perspective, we have thousands and thousands of technicians across the country, as you can imagine. They're a very important part of our business. And when I say practitionership, you know, what can we do to continue to staff those roles, to make the calls, to retain them in their roles, and also to reward and recognize them from a compensation perspective appropriately. And I've had some large field experience in my past. So that was kind of a quick win right there to try to mm-hmm. do some things in that area to improve their performance.
That's interesting. You, in the beginning there, you kind of talked about some of those major improvements or capital improvements that companies can make. You think over the last, you know, kind of several business cycles, you know, there's some pretty incredible things that we have added to the business world, whether it's computers or it's telephones, if it's that made just remarkable changes to our process. And maybe mobile devices might be the most recent, maybe the, you know, aside from maybe the internet and that whole scenario. And but, you know, I think we're at this point now, unless something really drastically new gets invented or brought into the marketplace, and I don't know what that is yet, or maybe I'd be on my yacht by now, but I kind of feel like that big thing is actually the human part of it, Maybe it's changing the way in which our staff, our employees, our human capital is really being leveraged in the company in a much more positive way. And that tends to kind of get back into company culture. But before we kind of dive into that a little bit, I know, you know, in talking about your move into Sears as a VP of HR, you were kind of one of four people that were brought in as kind of major leadership changes there to kind of help keep the company really moving forward in a positive way. Can you maybe explain the strategic thinking behind some of those moves, you know, as best you can? And, you know, if that, you're hopeful the outcome will be great, you know, as far as the future of that kind of new leadership into Sears.
Sure. You know, if you think back a couple of decades ago, or even more recently than that, you know, Sears was often kind of poached, for the lack of a better word, because we really had the retail model nailed. You mentioned the anchor store at the end of the mall where everybody went to get just about anything at Sears. You know, we now know that there are certain directions that we want to go as well. One being technology. You know, to be a strong integrated retailer, you've got to have a strong, robust presence, as you know. You mentioned mobile. That is certainly one piece of that equation, as is just the internet, and offering innovative services for our members, you know, even at the stores, bringing back a product, picking up a product. You know, we watch very closely other organizations that have done that well. You know, a lot of those organizations 10 years ago, we didn't know who they were, right? Like an Amazon or a Groupon, you know, some of those organizations as well. Staples is a good example as well. You know, they do more e-commerce than almost anybody does, and that's Staples. And you can imagine where a lot of that comes from. So we were trying to add just additional perspective to the organization. We've got a lot of long service people here that have done very well, very loyal, have a ton of institutional knowledge. But the beautiful thing is, Chris, is that they're hungry to learn more and to see more. And one of the strategies that we have to be able to achieve that is to bring in senior leaders from other organizations that have been able to accomplish many of the things that we're set out to accomplish as well, to become that great retailer again.
So I think I remember when I was talking previously that, you know, Sears kind of feels like a kind of a traditional culture, maybe even, you know, one that, you know, kind of very typical that people might think of in being such a big company, but maybe kind of decided to try to be a little bit less traditional. So how do you see the transformation taking place in the organization, and maybe what are some of the things you and others are putting into place to really drive a cultural transformation?
That's well said, Chris. It has been a traditional culture, and there's nothing wrong with that. But as we want to move faster and into areas that we've never been in before, you know, it takes different leadership, it takes different commitments, and it does take a bit of a different culture. You know, one thing that we did, let me think about this for just a moment, just over a year ago, is we took out performance ratings. So we no longer have performance ratings. So one of our cultural attributes, or values, if you will, that's relatively new to the organization, is embracing feedback. So we now have a full feedback system through our organization, through what we call Soundboard, or Game On. It's part of the Game On system, where we no longer have ratings. You know, we have our business objectives. You know, based on those business objectives, we have our individual priorities, and we cascade those into kind of quarterly goals, or key results, if you will. And that's how we manage performance through the organization. That's a big cultural shift for an organization that's been very used to having a very specific annual review and having a quantitative rating associated with them that drove their pay or drove, you know, other things within their employment history here. And it was interesting, is the feedback that I got here is, oh, we don't have a performance management system anymore. And Chris, you can imagine that, you know, that was, that kind of was biting at my ankles, if you will, because that's not the case at all.
Right.
We absolutely have a performance management system here. We just don't have ratings anymore. But as we try to become a more accountable culture, you know, where we take accountability, we close these gaps, you know, what we see, we own it, we solve it, and then being open and respectful around communications and constantly accepting and giving feedback, that was one way to kind of force it. And what's interesting about that, is you don't think of Sears necessarily as being on the front edge of big changes like that. When you read about folks that are ditching, for the lack of a better word, performance ratings, you're thinking about Adobe, those more edgy organizations, if you will, out west. And here you have a very traditional retailer that is trying a lot of new things. And, you know, we're doing that within Sears, and that helps the culture shift into being more flexible, more creative, more innovative, and much more accountable.
How much of that do you think has to do with the fact that you have a lot of subcultures as well within the organization? I mean, we talked about some of those big brands earlier. Did that impact it, or did that just make it necessary to kind of, you know, institute some changes in how you're dealing with the culture?
Yeah, it impacts it. I mean, I think there's an element of necessity there as well, Chris. I think that's a really good point. But, you know, we talked about some of the brands that we have in the organization. If you see that big Sears sign at the end of the mall, right on the other side of the building is likely a Sears Auto organization as well, where you can take your car to get your battery changed, or your tires rotated, oil change, etc. You know, those are all different business units within our organization. Online's a different one. You know, we have several, and we have some shared infrastructure, but they also take on, to your point, some of those subcultures as well. we're much more innovative in some areas than we are in others. It's been embraced in a more accelerated pattern in some divisions than it has in others. But the necessity piece is, you know, we're still have and work and operate under the umbrella of embracing that feedback, you know, showing pride for the organization and putting our members first. It's a little difficult when you have several different business units trying to achieve their individual and business objectives that are still part of a large enterprise. But I think if you look at the large enterprise, everything that we do or that we touch is and should have a direct impact on our members. So if we just talk about, hey, Sears Holdings will have a members first type culture, members being, you know, synonymous with customers, if you will. Basing how you do that within your own sub-unit, SBU, culturally, you know, we do offer quite a bit of flexibility from that perspective.
And all of this while you're probably trying to bring in the top executive management talent that you can, and struggling, or I shouldn't say struggling, but probably trying to figure out the best way to, like all other companies are currently having this challenge, to deal with the engaging millennials. And they're entirely kind of almost seems like new process that they're kind of expecting based on this kind of rapid change in technology. So how are you dealing with some of those challenges?
Well, I'll start with the former. In my selection process here, I thought they did a really good job, because my first impression was, well, where is Sears going? You know, I just talked to a candidate earlier today that I'm trying to fill for one of our roles that is with Radio Shack. And if anybody watches the news, we see what's happening rapidly with Radio Shack.
Sure.
And I said, tell me a little bit about your culture there and how things are. How are people doing? What's the mood like? And, you know, this candidate just lit up. He was speaking so highly of the people and how hard everybody's tried till the end and, you know, so on and so forth. And when I got recruited to Sears, I thought, well, what is the future? Help me understand where Sears is going. You know, home service is different than auto, which is different than retail, which is different than, you know, parts of the Craftsman, Kenmore, Die Hard. And I was really impressed with how they shared their vision, shared their strategy and their roadmap, brought me to the headquarters building here in Hoffman Estates, Illinois, west of Chicago, and showed me some of the things that they're doing, showed me what their investments were, but really took the time, Chris, to share with me, and I've done this with candidates subsequently, where we can make a difference and how quickly and materially that difference can be for folks that are coming at a very senior level in the organization, which indicated to me that there was an openness to try new things. We have a very large, what we call test and learn environment here. You want to try something out? Try something out. We have enough controllership within the organization that, you know, nothing that you're going to do is going to sink the business, obviously. But let's try it. Let's just try it. Let's not talk about it too much. Let's just put it out there in a region or in an office or in a store and give it a shot and see how it works. And if it results are positive, we'll have further discussions on whether we want to implement it or not. Executives like that. They like the openness. They like being able to see very quickly that they can have and make a difference and try some things pretty quickly in the organization to change behavior and improve performance.
Well, that's got to be a pretty cool recruiting tool then, because I imagine that would be one of the misconceptions that any large company might have, is that someone's going to come in, they're going to have to sit and play politics all day, and ultimately projects or change management and things like that might move so slowly that you would rather, you know, just jump off the edge of a cliff. And if you have sort of this thing built in where you can try things, you can at least pilot things to give it a shot, to at least demonstrate that there may be, you know, some workings here, or to beta test something and refine it into a really good working process, that's exciting stuff.
It is exciting. Now, don't get me wrong, the bureaucracy will still present itself when you don't want it to.
Right.
The appetite for the organization to try new things is really stunning. And, you know, I might have still joined not knowing that, but I can tell you that that what was communicated to me was proven out pretty soon after I got here, which I really appreciated. Now, interestingly, the second part of your question is we involve a lot of our millennials in those types of processes, those test and learns. And they just have different requirements, as we all know and we all read about. I have a 24-year-old HR generalist that's on my team. And we had a large meeting. This was the second week of the calendar year. And she came into my office probably an hour afterwards and just, how did I do? Give me some feedback. I mean, they want feedback right off the bat. They want to understand, you know, where they can make the difference. They want to grow rapidly in the organization. It's such a different view than the baby boomers or the Gen X folks. What strikes me the most is how involved they want to be in the community on behalf of the organization, which I think is where we've gotten, Chris, the most momentum with our millennial population, is the amount of work that we do in our communities. Whether it's here in the Chicagoland or whether it's one of our stores anywhere around the country, downtown, just our partnership with the communities, those aren't just being participated by the millennials. A lot of the millennials are actually leading those efforts as well. So we've had some good success. We've actually had some pretty good success attracting and retaining millennials. It's interesting. This is interesting to me anyway, Chris, is if you go ask a baby boomer about, you know, tell me what you know about Sears, they may talk to you for about a half an hour. If you ask a millennial what they know about Sears, they may have seen it in that mall example that you gave at the beginning of the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't know much about it, and they may ask their parents about it. But same type of recruiting strategy around, we'll give you opportunities to grow. We move people around in the organization all the time. You can be involved in the community, and we're very flexible. I know that you're out in the Bay Area. Chicago's got challenges from traffic. We have a lot of people that live in the city, and we're about 40 miles west of the city, so we're very flexible on work arrangements and things of that nature to try to achieve that balance.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we don't have too much more time to maybe dive into it. I was going to maybe also mention some of that kind of neat stuff that you had talked about with your technicians really having a great sense of purpose and really loving what they're doing, and being able to solve problems for people and, you know, get their washing machines working again, get their dryers working again, and really, you know, get people the small things in life kind of fixed and going. But with everything that you're doing and all this, the kind of great momentum you have, I'm wondering if there is a book that maybe you're reading or that you might suggest to those people that are tuning in that they ought to check out to maybe, you know, whether it's improve their life or improve their workforce, their company, that, you know, you might suggest.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I just finished reading for the second time a book called The First 90 Days. It's written by Michael Watkins. I'm sure much of the audience has probably heard of that book, but it's a great book for anybody that's in any new role. You know, it reminds you of credibility and you know, methodology and kind of how to attack your first 90 days. I think that's a great book. And, you know, reading it for the second time, I had different perspective from when I read it the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I just started a book by Tom Rath, and most of us know Tom Rath is kind of the brains behind StrengthsFinder. He's got a book that's been out for about a year now. It's called Eat, Move, Sleep. And you know, it's just as it sounds. It's really talking about how the small choices that you make every single day, you know, how often you move around, what you're eating, your sleep habits, you know, those choices, how they can lead to kind of big changes in your life. It's an easy read. It's a New York Times bestseller, and it's one of those life improvement books. I find it fascinating.
Yeah, and I love the Strength Finder stuff, so that sounds like a great suggestion. And certainly anybody coming into a new role, that's very apropos to check out the 90-day book. That sounds great. And a reminder, we will also place all these book links and on our blog post. We'll do a recap of this that you can find on our blog section of the People G2 website. But Marty, you've really given us a lot of great information, and I've really appreciated getting all your insights and learning more about what sounds like to be the new Sears, different than the one that I think a lot of people maybe, especially you talk about baby boomers, might have in their heads. So,
sure.
Really appreciate you being on the show, and hopefully we can have you come back at some point and give us an update.
That's great, Chris. Thanks very much for the time. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right, Marty, thank you again. And up next, Donna Schilder will be on the show here live in the studio just after this quick commercial break.
When it comes to pioneers in their respective industries, we all know the Apples, Starbucks, and Trader Joe's of the world. In the realm of recruiting, Decision Toolbox is the industry's best-kept secret. With 90% of their business from referrals and repeat customers, for over 20 years, Decision Toolbox's U.S.-based team of recruiters, sourcers, professional writers, quality personnel, and tech support has perfected a Six Sigma approach to talent management. No matter the size of the project, Decision Toolbox delivers incredible results. A cost per hire less than half of what contingency firms charge. With the winning candidate presented in an average of 14 days. All with a 12-month candidate warranty. With results like that, Decision Toolbox won't be a secret for long. Visit us at www.dtoolbox.com for more information.
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest, hire.